We will begin Bezus Hashem Yud Aleph from the Beis in Masechtas Yuma. We'll start from this Braisa once again, which we ended with last week. It's probably about 9 lines down from the top. 2 words in from the line, Tani Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda. Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda taught in a Braisa. Kamei de Rava. You got that? On the Beis. Yud Aleph from the Beis. Yeah, just right there where your finger is. Tani Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda Kamei de Rava. Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda taught the following halachas in the Braisa. Shisha She'arim. There are 6 types of gates, of doorways, which are Peturim and Amezuzah. What are they? Namely, Beis HaTeven, the storehouse for hay, or Beis HaBokar, the place where you bring the cattle. It's not the Refes Bokar, which we mentioned in a different Braisa, which is the sort of the stable which they stay there on a permanent basis, a more regular basis. That we said is much filthier than the Beis HaBakar. But nonetheless, this Braisa is of the opinion that the Potter from Mezuzah. Well, Beis HaEitzin, the third one is the storage house for wood. Beis HaEitzreis, Rashi explained on Amar Aleph that Beis HaEitzreis are storage houses for wine, oil, produce. That's number 4. Number 5 is Shar HaModai. And Rashi says Shar HaModai is the gates of Modai. The reason why we say they're Modai gates is because in Modai it was the common practice to make their gates in the shape of an arch. And we're going to explain that shortly. That's another one that is part of from Mezuzah. That is number 5. Ushar Shena Makura, number 6, is a gate that has no roof above it. Now, we had a whole discussion last week, if the doorway or a house that has no roof is putter from mezuzah, then how could we have said on Amar Aleph in the Braisa that Shar Chaseres, the gateway to a courtyard, an open courtyard, is Chayv and mezuzah? How could be Chayv and mezuzah? The courtyard obviously has no roof above. And we explained the 2 approaches in the Rishonim, the Rambam and the Rush. And number 7 is Vishar Shein Gavoy Ayud, a doorway that is so small that it does not even 10 tefachim high. So for example, if a crawl space would be one example, right? If a crawl space in your house, even if it would go to, let's say, a room. Let's say it would go to a room actually that children could sleep in. And for them it's easy to go in and out. That will be an example. It's not considered a doorway. Or it's made for storage. Or I noticed, in the Walmart shops. So they have a special entrance for the carts. Right? Okay? So that also would not be mechiv mezuzah if it's not 10 tefachim tall. Approximately 30 feet was the measurement. So those are the 7 things. So the first kasha the Gemara says, Omar Leisa, Rava says to him, Pascha b'shisha, you said you can have a list of 6 things which are put, there's 6 doorways, v'solka b'shiva, and you ended up selling me 7 of them. Omar Leisa says, the reason why I said that is because Shar HaModai really tanoihi, Shar HaModai, these gates made with arches, is really machlekes tanoim, if they are chayev or putter in a mezuzah. The Tanya. And we would think this could be very relevant, right? We have many of our doorways that are arches.
And how much
is
it? It's 30 feet?
10
tefachim. So it's 30 feet?
30.
No. 30 inches.
30 inches, yeah. 30 inches, 30. Oh, did I say 30 feet?
Yeah.
Oh, I apologize. Approximately 30, between 30 and 36 inches off the ground. Shem Yesh, where are we? The Tanya, we learned in a Braisa. Kippa, if you have an archway, Rameir Mechayev, the mezuzah, Vachachamim, Poitrin. Now we'll see, that machleik is not really just straight away a doorway made with an arch, is that exempt from mezuzah or not? That's not really the machleikis. Okay? So let's not make a mistake. Oh, well, if you have a doorway with an arch, is that part from mezuzah? Oh, that's a machleikis, Rameir and Echacham. No, the machleikis, Rameir and Echacham is going to be in a specific case. And that's the little picture that we have here on the side of the Gemara, that you have an archway within a frame that's bigger than the archway. And the machleik is going to be, could you look, if the archway is a certain proportion, could we look as if we could open up, halachically speaking, open up the archway to fill the rest of the space in order to have enough space here to make it a halachic doorway for mezuzah. The Rameir says you could look at it as if you open it up, and the Chum say no, you have to go exactly the way the arch is. But now we're going to explain that their machleik is actually very limited. Says the Gemara like this. Again, the Tanya we learned in a Braisa, Kippa. If you have an archway, Rameir Mechayev and Mezuzah Chum patron, Vishavin, but they both agree, Shem Yesh Biragla Asara, if you have posts on the side, what we call mezuzahs, the two posts on the side is Asara, if they have 10 tfachim tall, meaning that the height of it is 10 tfachim tall, Shechayev Mezuzah. Everybody agrees, if the archway goes up 10 tfachim, it's Chayev Mezuzah. Omer Abaye, Abaye will now explain the machlokes. The Kuli Alma, everybody agrees, it's Gavoya Yud. If the height of the doorway is 10 tefachim tall, the Ein Biraglo Gimel, the Lav Klumi, then it's nothing. What is the Ein Biraglo Gimel? Meaning to say like this. Rashi explains, if you have a, here, this is, maybe there's a good picture to use on the cover of this Gemara. Because here you have an archway, see? And it's within the bigger frame. Okay, so for a doorway to be constituted, to constitute a doorway, you need 10 tefachim high with a 4 tefachim width. If it's too short or too narrow, it's not a Pesach, it doesn't have a Shem Pesach to it. So if you have that within less than 3 tefachim high, it already starts slanting inward that you lose your 4 tefachim width, then it's not a doorway. Everybody agrees to that. So even though in total it can go up actually to 10 tefachim, but if the doorway starts narrowing at a height of 3 tefachim, so 3 tefachim to the ground is nothing, as if it's like filled in, and that's not a good doorway. So v'lav klumi, that's nothing, it's not chayav mezuzah. Inami, alternatively you could say, another case which they agreed, yesh biraglo gimel, that you do go up 3 tefachim high, where you have a width of 4 tefachim, v'ena gavayyud. However, in total, it caps out at less than 10 tefachim height. So that we said before. There's also v'lav klumi. That's nothing. It's not chayv mezuzah. Loi nechaliku ela begavayyud. It's actually 10 tefachim tall. The doorway space. V'yesh baragla gimel. And it starts from a height of more than 3 tefachim. It has the already a width of 4. But what's the whole question? If the ein berachav adalid, mean you don't have the whole way up, you don't have dalid. In other words, starting at the bottom, going up the first 3 tefachim, you have a space of 4 tefachim in between. The width of 4 tefachim. However, by the time you get up to these 10 tefachim, when the arch is over, you have no more 4 tefachim anymore. Okay, so let's take an example. Let's say from the bottom here until the top was exactly 10 tefachim. So here you have 4 tefachim, 4 tefachim. As soon as you start hitting the point of the arch, you lose out on your 4 tefachim. However, you have a frame, as the picture shows over there, that goes beyond that 10 tefachim. So if you look at this, if you could open this up, you'll have your 10 tefachim. Do you open it up or not? That's the machlokes. Rameir Savar. Again, Vayim Rechav Adal, Vayesh Ba Lachuk, but you have to sort of carve out Lashlim El Arba to finish it off to be 4 tefachim wide. Rameir Sava Chaykikin Lashlim, you can view it as if we carve it out. Rabban Sabri Ein Chaykikin Lashlim. That is the Machloikis. Meaning to say that everybody agrees if you have an archway and it is 10 tefachim tall and it's 4 tefachim wide, there's no machlokes that is chayav in a mezuzah. Okay? Which is most of the time when we have archways, they are tall enough and they are wide enough, and therefore will be chayav in a mezuzah. So that's why we don't bother thinking. We look at the door, is this chayav in a mezuzah? Well, it has two posts going up and it arches at the top. It's certainly chayav in a mezuzah, right?
Those minimum dimensions are so small, my goodness. I mean, you would think just about everything would fall with. Would
require one. Yeah, yeah. You know, maybe if it made for decorative purposes, but yeah. That'd be a different reason why you'd be putting from a mezuzah. Yeah, but those are the dimensions that I needed. Okay? Now, really, there's a machlekes rishonim over here. Rashi says, Rashi right at the with a narrow line start. V'chacham patron. Why do the chum say if you have a kippah it's patur? She'ein sha'ar b'loy reichiv dalu. Like we explained, you can't have a doorway that's less than four tefachim wide. V'chol kippah, and every arch that was made, was miskatzeres b'roisha, gets narrow at the top, l'pachos midalad, and therefore you don't have dalad. The way Rashi learns is like this. You could have an arch that's entirely an arch. Meaning from start to finish, there's no, it never straightens out and then starts an arch, but it goes straight up and curves and goes down the other side. In other words, there's no dividing point from where the straight line ends to where the arch begins. And in that case, Rashi says, that's the problem with an arch, because if you do it just exactly 10 tefachim, you're not going to have four across the top. But we come out according to Rashi, that if you have an arch that goes up, let's say, 20 tefachim, 4 tefachim wide, so at the top of the arch where you lose your 4 tefachim, but it's still way above the what's necessary. The Rambam and other Rishonim learn, no, the problem with an arch is that you could never notice the dividing line between what's called the straight post and what's already the mashkeif. You can't distinguish between the mezuzah and the mashkeif. Well, is this going up? At what point does it end? Right? So, since you can't notice that, she says, a door which you can't notice where the two posts are and where the top is, that's not going to be kosher and mezuzah. Meaning, according to the Rambam, if you have two straight posts and they end at a certain point and then it starts an arch, he also agrees with the Chayav and Mezuzah. It's not the problem is not the arch going over. The problem is there has to be a dividing line, a point where you can distinguish between it. Right? As kids we used to play a game. I'm going to say the letter A and you tell me when I'm switching to the letter E. Right? A... Yeah, it was hard to tell. I already switched. Okay, so that's the problem. That's what the Rambam says. A doorway which you can't notice that division is not doesn't have a shame a door. And the Shulchan Aruch passes like that. In other words, according to the Shulchan Aruch, and like follows the Rambam's opinion, you have to have two noticeable mezuzahs, two noticeable posts, and then you can have the arch going over. That's the machlokes. Which the Taz writes in Simon Reish Pei Zayis of Kutin Beis, the Taz writes an interesting nafkamina between Rashi and the Rambam. Did anybody think of the nafkamina yet? What's the nafkamina? Basically, we're saying that according to Rashi, everything's included, and according to the Rambam, only if you have two distinguishable posts, after that, you can count the arch as the mashkef.
You know, one-sided post,
you think? Well, la halacha, we say we're only going to put up if you have the two posts. You have to have two posts, right? But here's the nafkamina. Let's say you have two posts, okay? And the post, let's say a regular doorway is how tall? Let's say 7 feet tall. The posts go to 7 feet. And then it continues as an arch, let's say another 7 feet. Okay, it's a very grandiose doorway. Okay, it's wide enough and goes up 7 feet, and then above that, a whole arch goes up another 7 feet.
Where do you put the mezuzah?
Where do you put the mezuzah? According to the Rambam, we always put the mezuzah on the post, on the side post. According to the Rambam, that side post ends at 7 feet. So you put it in the Shlisha Elyon, the bottom of the third top above the door, and that's where we'll go. According to Rashi, it's all included. You really will put it up somewhere about, if the total is 14 feet, could be you'll put it somewhere like 11 feet up in the air. You may not be able to reach it. Right? That will be a chilek according to Rashi and the Rambam. Some want to say it could be eight of both sheets and put up two of them. Why? Because according to the Rambam, that mezuzah up there is nothing. That's not on the post. It's nowhere. It's like just hanging in midair. So you don't lose that according to the Rambam. And according to Rashi, you put it too low down. It's like you put the mezuzah on the right above the floor. You're not eight of there. So some want to say it could be put up two mezuzahs in that in such a case, which is not so uncommon. You could have very big doorways. and which would be an afkamina machlegi between Rashi and the Rambam. Yeah, Lamaisa, since we're passing like the Shulchan Aruch passes like the Rambam, that's the way we go, and you'll only put a bar mezuzah in such a case on the post itself. Good. Actually, like a lot of things in Judaism, well, I shouldn't say a lot of things, but like some things in Judaism, we usually make the tuffel into the ikur and the ikur into the tuffel. No, the mezuzah is that we have to, first of all, has to be on our house. We put up the mezuzah because the Torah says put up a mezuzah. As well, there are in Yonim that, like the Rambam says, when you go in and out of your house, you should see the mezuzah, look at the mezuzah, remind you about Hashem before you go out. And when you come in, some people say a pasuk. The whole shaila, where did it come, the whole minhag to kiss the mezuzah? Yeah, not so simple. It's not brought in, not in the Gemara, not in the Rambam, not in the Shulchan Aruch, not in the Ramah.
Isn't there just a chavimus of mitzvahs that there are people who kiss Phil and they kiss...
The Birkei Yosef, it's brought also in the side of the, our editions of the Shulchan Aruch, he's the first one that says that you place your hand on the mezuzah. Doesn't even mention about kissing. You place your hand, but also sort of to connect with it. Yes, Rabbi Kiva Eger actually has a whole shiloh. How could you do that? Your hands sometimes are not clean, assuming that the scroll is just there. How could you touch it? Where's the basis for it? Some have a kash, if you remember, those who remember when we learned of Smesach Tzavei Dezorah, Daf Yud Aleph Amar Aleph. You remember? Okay. Over there, there's a whole maisa with Uncleus Hager. Uncleus, you know, was a Roman Gentile. He was a nephew of Titus. And the after the Churban Beis Hamikdash, Uncleus wanted to be Megayer. And he took advice from his uncle Titus. And then he became a ger. But the Roman emperor did not like this, and he sent emissaries to get him back and to have him tried in court. And each pair that came, he was Megayer them. And the second, he says, don't argue with him. They didn't argue with him, he was Megayer them. Finally, he sent the group and he said, don't even say anything to him. And don't let him say anything. So that's it. They came there under strict orders, you may not say a thing. Okay, you have the right to remain silent. So he listened. On his way out, he kissed the mezuzah. He touched his hand, he kissed the mezuzah. They say, hey, what are you doing? Oh, well, and once he was able to talk, he convinced them to. And at that point, the Roman emperor stopped sending after him. That's the maisa the Gemara brings over there. So they ask Akasha, oh, Rabbi Kivaga, you don't remember that Gemara? Okay, we don't remember the Gemara, but Rabbi Kivaga, remember that? So to answer that, this was fairly simple. They say there's no riot that they became. He, in order to get a sort of to start something, in order to get them engaged in conversation, he decided to do that. But even the Birkei Yosef that says Yitashu doesn't come as the basis from that Gemara necessarily. Okay, can we go back to Masechtas Yuma now? Okay. We have now another brayser, Tana Rabbanan. Beis HaKnesses, a shul, or Beis HaIsha, and a house that is strictly for a woman. For example, a divorced woman or a widow who lives by herself, and she has a house. Does she have to put up a mezuzah? Does a shul need a mezuzah? Or Beis HaShutfin, partners. This we spoke about already by Shutfin.
Jew and non-Jew.
Oh, here we're talking about Jews. Yeah.
If they're two Jews, of course needed.
Yeah. So we'll see when it's a non-Jewish partner, right? Now we saw as a makhlekes in the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam. Ubeis hashutvin chayeves b'mezuzah is chayev to put up a mezuzah. Says the Gemara Pshita. Why should I think that not? Torah says put up chsavta ma'mezuzah is beisecho v'sharecho. Why shouldn't he put? Says the Gemara like this. Ma'uritaim, it says beisecho. And the Tosis Yeshanim says that's a lashon zachar beisecho v'loy beisa, and not her house. Maybe the Torah says only the house belonging to men who are living over there v'loy beisa, not her house, or beischa, your individual house, v'loy batehem, not their house, meaning shutfin, or a shul which belongs to everyone in the shul. It's a will be part of a mezuzah. Kamash Malon, that's why this Brisa had to teach us indeed that they're chayiv and mezuzah. Frek the Gemara asks, ve'eima hachinami? So why not say indeed that's a good limud? Beisecha, and not a woman's house. Beisecha, not a shul, not beis hashutzin. The Gemara says no, but on my krav another pasuk, Laman yirbu yameichem imei v'neichem. The reason why we put, one of the reasons we put up a mezuzah in order to have long life for you and your children. So hani bo chaye v'hani loy bo chaye. Only men want long life and not women. Only an individual wants long life and not two people living together, partners all living together, or people in the shul. So here Rabbi Kivega and the Gilyan Hashah says, well, that's not such a good limud. Why? Because if you have Beis HaShutfin, you say there's a problem with only a house owned by a man, Beis HaKo, and not owned by a woman. Good. So that means any house she would have would not have a mezuzah. So that you could say, one second, she doesn't want long life, Laman Yirbu Yameichem. Oh, it's okay, so that's why she's chayiv. But Rabbi Kivega says, but from that svara that you'll ask me, that won't exclude a Beis HaShutfin. Why? Let's talk about a Beis HaKnesses. Beis HaKnesses, let's say we all daven in a shul together. Okay, so it says Beis HaKo and not Batehem. So we're exempt from putting up on the shul. But you can't tell me, one second, but don't all the people in the shul want long life? What can I say to that? Says Rabbi Kivega, good, in their home they'll have a mezuzah and they're zeichet a long life. Right? Does someone live longer because he has 26 doors to put up in his house and another person has 6 doors? No. Laman yirbu yameichem imei v'neichem. That's Rikveges Kashi's Tzorech Iyin Gadol.
Is this pasuk?
Tzorech Iyin Gadol.
Is this pasuk Laman yirbu yameichem connected to mezuzah?
Yeah.
I thought it's
in the right. The next parsha, the next pasuk in the Torah, Laman yirbu yameichem, in order that you should live long.
That's the connection.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Laman yirbu yameichem.
That's a good question. I mean, we're starting with Ayah and Shemot, and it lists all those.
Right, but the last pasuk you have tefillin, mezuzah, and mezuzah is connected. That's juxtaposed to the man yirbu yameichem. Yeah, yeah. You want to say it's going on the general keeping of the mitzvahs? That's true.
Yeah,
that's true. But the Gemara says we do darsh and smuchay. It's the fact that they put together
tefillin because it's connected because there is two mitzvot.
Yeah, but that's with the last pasuk. You're only
connecting the last
just the last pasuk. Yeah.
Because if you look on the Siddurim, it's like an independent paragraph. Yeah, separate paragraph. So that's probably because the other mitzvot.
Yeah, it's a new parsha, but it's still, yeah. So actually the Rishash and the Rabbi Elazar Moshe Horowitz, they want to answer Rikivega's kasha. And he says that the fact that it says, Laman yirbu yameichem v'imei v'neichem, that's how I include those houses or shuls that are owned by partners. You're right, I don't need the svara that, the man wants long life, not the woman. So the woman has to put up also. Yeah, but the shutfin, we say they should have the long life for somewhere else. So how do you know that a bias shul shutfin is chayav mezuzah? How do you know a beis haknesses would be chayav mezuzah? And that, he says, no, that's in l'mayin yibu yumeichem yumeivenechem. That's already in plural, and that's how you know it. That's how they explain it. Says the Gemara like this, Ella Beisecha Lomeli. So if you have a new pshat for Beisecha, and you're not saying it's to exclude a house of a woman or a shul or a Beis HaShutfin, so then what do you need the word Beisecha? Why did I have to say it like that? Teretz is Kedirava, to teach us another halacha. Doma Rava, Derech Biyoscha. It says Beisecha, it's a play on words, Biyoscha. How you come into a house, and you come in into the house, and therefore you put it up on the right side. When a person picks up his foot, his right foot, in other words, most people are righties, and therefore when you step, most people, if they're right-handed, they're also right-footed, if that's a word, right? If they were a kicker on a football team, they would use their right foot. In soccer, they would use the right foot, right? When they want to stamp their foot in anger, they use the right foot. So, what's the foot you start with? Your right foot. And for that reason, you put in. So, what's the shaila? What's the question here?
What about the lefties?
What about the lefties? Right? Okay. What happens if someone's a southpaw? Nah, what do you do then?
About the kederach olam. No, because if you have a guest, if you have other people.
Ah, very good. So one teretz is very good. Is this the Mordechai says already? that, I mean, good, the Balabayas, let's say, is a lefty, but it's for everybody in the house, right? So for everybody in the house, you go buster the right people, and again, most people in the house are righties. But let's say you have a house which are all, Nebuch, all of them are lefties. Now, I say Nebuch, it's not so simple, because it could be the person who's a lefty is considered a mum, a kayin, who is a lefty.
Yeah.
My brother-in-law is a kayin, and one of his children, one of his boys, when he was young, he started using the left. They tried to train him to use the right hand. Because according to some, it's a... you're a righty, Drew, right? You got it, okay. Good. So,
serving him better than
God. Yeah. So, on that we say still, that Lamaisi is still put it up on the right side, even if everybody was... And eat the regal.
The people with left hand, they put on the right side the tefillin?
Mm-hmm. No. Tefillin, he says, is different, because the Shach says tefillin, which is a mitzvah on the guf. So that, you have to say, okay, you have to put it on your weaker hand. Al yadcha, your weaker hand. So if the weaker hand is the right one, you put it on your right hand. If you're righty, the weaker hand is your left hand. That's what most people do. But he says, mezuzah is on the bias. It's not because, it's just saying which side you should put it up. It's not dependent on the person himself. It's to put it on the bias as a protection for the house. We learned another braisa, beisach nesis, beisach shudzun, beisach isha. We now we're off to a new topic. Not mezuzah, but nigoim, nigei batim. We know when they came into Eretz Yisrael, one of the things that pertained, one halachas that pertained, was to batim, houses that became, had discolorations on the stones of the house, and a kohen had to check it, and if it was a problem, you have to take out that stone, sometimes you have to knock it all down. So a beisach nesis, a beisach shudzun, a beisach isha, these three houses that we mentioned before, mitam and binigoyim. If you find a nega on any of these structures, it could be tame. Frek the Gemara again, pshita, why would I think not? Oh, so ma'ur tamer the Gemara says, it says in the pasuk concerning negoyim, ubo ashaloi habayis. And he will come to the one who to him is a house. Why do you have the word loy in there? To him. Loy, v'loy la? Maybe we should make a drasha only to him. It's his house and not her house. V'loy la. A woman's house would be protected, would not be become tameh from negoyim. V'loy, v'loy lahen. Only if it's an individual and not shutfin. Kamash malon. That's why we have this braisa to teach us. They're all chayiv in negoyim. Even a shul. You have to break down the whole shul. V'eima hachinami. So the same question. So maybe that's the case. Maybe we should say that loy and not loy. La. Loy and not lohen. The Gemara says, no, because I have another pasuk. The other pasuk tells me, he goes on everybody, O makro, beveis eretz achuz aschem. In the house, in the land, achuz aschem, that you have inherited. And achuz aschem is plural. And therefore we include, even a beis hakneses, even a beis hashutfin. Elo loy lomeli. If that's the case, then why does the Torah write the word loy? If it's not to exclude these types of houses, so why does the Torah write loy? So listen to what the Gemara says, unbelievable. Lamali, because mi shemiyachid beisai loy. You know why negoyim comes on a house? Because it's hashaloy habayis. This is his house to the exclusion of others. This is my house to the exclusion of others. People come, according to Rashi, it means someone who comes to borrow some of the kalim that he has in his. He says, no, I'm sorry, I can't lend them out. These are only to be in this house. I can't lend them out. Hashem says, oh, you say you can't lend out your things? You want to make it as exclusive to you? Hashem says, I'll make sure a nega comes in the house. You'll have to empty out all the contents of your house. And sort of, you want to keep it to you? I'll display it to everyone. The Tosis Yeshanim learns that it's going on those who don't. It's the Rabbeinu Chanan Aliyah. Pirish Mishene Machnes Orchim Beseich Beisai. Because this is my house. It's not for guests, it's not for others. Hashem says, that's the case. I'll make you take apart the house that you think is only for you. That's the Gemara. Misha Miyachid Beisai Loi. Shein Reitz Alashel Kelov. He doesn't want to lend out the furniture in his house, or the utensils in his house, or he was on other people to use his kelim in his house. Va'omer she'ein loy, he says, I don't have. Sort of like the Mitzrayim said, that they don't have any vessels, we wanted to borrow them. And the Yidden says, oh, that's funny, because when I was there during Chayshah, here also HaKadosh Baruch Hu mefarsimai, Hashem will publicize it, kivishim mefanes beisai, when he has to empty out all of the possessions in his house. Prat l'mashal kev l'acherim, someone who does lend out his stuff, he is assured, says the Pasuk, that he won't have negoim on his house. Says the Gemara question, Ubeis HaKnesses mi metami b'negoim? Can a Beis HaKnesses, could a shul have a problem of tamei negoim? They see a discoloration on the shul, they have to have the kain brought down to determine if this is a nega or not. V'hatani, we learned in a braisa, Yochel yu batek nesis ubatek midrashis metami b'negoim. I would think that on that tamei b'negoim, Talmud loimar, Uboi ashbo asher loy habayis, mishi miyuchid loy. Indeed, we do dash in this word. Someone who the house is specific to him as an individual, to exclude a shul which is not specific to an individual, it's rather for the tzibur.
So
here we have a braisa that says indeed a negoyim would only apply to an individual home.
A shul
is not.
So doesn't destroy, doesn't take anything out.
Right, it won't be tamei. You don't have to come to have the goyim come down.
They
talk during davening. Says the Gemara Loikashe, Hora Meir, Hora Bonon. There's two braises over here. One that says Beis HaKnesses is Metame Benigoyim, the other one that says not. One is Rameir's opinion, one is Rabbonon's opinion. The Tani we learned in the braise. Beis HaKnesses, Sheyesh Bo Beis Dira Lechazan HaKnesses. If you have a home, living quarters for the Shamish in the house, then it's Chayib and Mezuzah. But Vishayin Bo Beis Dira. If it doesn't have a Beis Dira, then what? Then Rameir Mechayiv, meaning Rameir's Mechayiv in Mezuzah, right? Because he holds a Beis HaKnesses on its own right as Mechayiv in Mezuzah. V'chacham and patron. So we say just like if not Chayiv in Mezuzah, it wouldn't be Chayiv Metami Benigoyim. So Rameir says a Beis HaKnesses on his own right is Chayiv in Mezuzah, and therefore so too will be Metami Benigoyim. And the Rechachom who say Beis HaKnesses doesn't need a mezuzah, so too would not be metame b'negoyim.
This one, if there is no apartment or house for the Chazan or Shamas, it doesn't need mezuzah.
According to the Rechachom, does not need a mezuzah.
Even a Rameir.
No, Rameir says, V'she'ein b'beis dira. Even if it does not have a beis dira, Rameir is still b'chai. Right. So that the halacha does follow the Chachamim. And indeed, technically speaking, a mezuzah, a Beis HaKnesses is not chayiv in mezuzah. A Beis HaMedrash is different. What do you live there?
There morning and night.
Ah, very good. So the Shach says indeed the Beis HaMedrash, when you have Talmidim there throughout the day, morning, afternoon, evening, that's already more like a Beis Dira that people are there all the time, and therefore it is Chayiv and Mezuzah. The Shach says, V'yat Talmidim Yeshem Mi Boiker Ad Erev. So that's how you know. You have to want to know, this is a shul or a Beis Medrash, you know? Some shuls, you know, they call it a Beis Medrash. This is our Beis Medrash.
Don't we pass them like the no shul today as a Beis Medrash? I mean, no shul today as a shul, as we always do.
That's as far as what things you're allowed to do, divrei chol, you're allowed to do in the shul. When we say it's built on a Tanai, then it doesn't have the Kedusha as Beis HaKnesses. That's as far as it's Kedusha. But in terms of, is it a Beis Dira? Do people actually sleep there? Do people use it to do their normal living things? That a Beis HaKnesses is part of. Yeah, the minig is anyway that the shuls do have mezuzahs on them. But that's the Shach is saying. How do you know this is a Beis Medrash or Beis HaKnesses? So if you have people there, morning through night, learning there, that's a Beis HaMedrash. If not, it's a Beis HaKnesses. And it's the halachas apply. That's one teretz, says the Gemara, two lines in the bottom of Yibba Yisema, Hova Ha Rabbanon. Both braises actually are the opinion of the Rabbanon. V'lei kashe, Hoda is Beis Dira. One braise was talking about a Beis HaKnesses that actually had a home, a room for the Chazin. Hoda Lesla Beis Dira. Or the other one was talking about it did not have a place for the Chazin HaKnesses to sleep and to have as a house, and therefore it's part of a mezuzah. V'Yibba Yisema, yet a third teretz. Both Bryce was talking about you had a shul and there was no place for the chazan to sleep, and it's going both according to the Rabbanon. So why does one Bryce say that it could be Metame Benigoyim and another Bryce says not Metame Benigoyim? Says the Gemara, Yud Beis Amud Aleph now, V'ha de krachim, V'ha de kfarim. A krach is a big city, and a kfar is a small village. What's the difference? So Rashi learns like this. The krachim, Rashi says, Shehu mokim shvokim. It's a place that has marketplaces, and therefore miskamsim shom mimekoyim es harbe, and many people come from all around. V'hi asuya lakoyil habol l'chol habol espalo. Therefore it's made for a much bigger population of people, and v'ein lo baila miyuchadim. A shul in a big city, which you have many people passing by, coming through that city, so therefore it has to be open for guests as well, and people from other places. So Rashi says that you can't say there's a particular person or people who own this shul, and therefore there's no ownership on the shul, and therefore it's pots from mezuzah. As opposed to krachim, the kfarim, kol bailo the nikarim. You have a small town with a small shul, all the members know each other, it's the same people who daven there always. Then we have a din of beis hashutfin, which we said before, is chayiv b'mezuzah. That's the way Rashi learns this.
They both need mezuzah.
So he really doesn't.
Remove need mezuzah.
He really doesn't have to do with a shtar chazaka or a shtar like a mortgage. Like by today's standards. You know, if one person's name is on the mortgage of the shul, I guess that means it's an individual person's shul or no?
That's if he owns the building. Sometimes you have a shul, let's say you have a particular, it could be a rebbe, it could be a rav, who owns the shul, maybe it's part of his house, or he owns the building, then it's an individual. And he just allows other people to daven. He also allows them to pay membership, and his salary, and and sponsor Kiddush, but it's ultimately it's his house. Yeah.
And he'd be b'chayav mezuzah.
Yeah. But a shul that's built from community money, and it's there's no particular owner, right? So then it's a basic necessity.
You're saying a basic
necessity
according to this would be
patur mezuzah. Yeah. Right.
Why don't we pass it like that?
So technically speaking, we do pass it like that. Yeah, la halacha, you're not mechuyev to put up in a basic nesses.
I thought because the kedusha of the place, not because it's belong to a community.
Yeah. I thought it was the kedusha. The purpose is shul.
Yeah, but again, but that
people learn there. There's no shul today. It's only for davening.
Correct.
That's why it's mechuyev.
Correct. Well, I know no shul today.
Not that we can think of.
Go to the. Go to Eretz Yisrael. The bells, they call it the Beis Hamikdash because they sort of looks like that. The facade looks like that.
Yeah,
the bells of Beis Hakneses, right? It's only open on Shabbos. It seats many thousands of people. You know, two rows or three rows of balconies for women, and just pews over there. Only opened on Shabbos. There's no eating over there. Actually, I think it was when the Belzer Rebbe made a bris a couple of years back for his grandson, and he invited Rebbe Yashiv to be the sandik. That was in the main shul, the main sanctuary. So they did open it for that. But the suda wasn't there. They didn't eat over there. So let me read it. Allah basic nezis. Right. Yeah. A Beis HaKnesses, we pass in like the Rambam, the Dafkim Yesham Beis Dira Lechazach Nakneses Oyle Talmidim, like we said by a Beis HaMedrish, then it's Chayiv Mezuzah. But if not, it's not Chayiv Mezuzah. Yeah. But Lamaisa we do put up anyway. Yeah, that's a good question. If it's not mechuyev, then you shouldn't make a bracha. Again, on a Beis HaKnesses, a Beis HaMedrash, yes. But on a Beis HaKnesses, it really shouldn't be. Yeah, so I have to see, I don't have it over here, I have to get the Shulchan Aruch. We're going to see that. That halacha. So again, Rashi learns the difference between a krach and a kfar is that the big city shuls are meant for the people who just passed through, and the smaller shuls are just for those people. It's bailam nikarim, Rashi says, and therefore it's like a beis hashutfim. Other rishonim learn that by a kfar, the reason why a kfar is chayiv is because like this. In a kfar, since they had much smaller homes, so people who would come through, the townspeople couldn't invite all the people into their homes. They would have liked to, but their homes were too small to accommodate people. So it was understood and it was set up originally that these people passing through would go where? Would go to the shul. So in the small villages, the shul became the guest house. And that's where people would sleep and that's where the guests would eat. So therefore it turned into a place of a dira, makom dira. It didn't have the din of a regular shul, but it had a din of a base dira, because they would eat and sleep over there. And there so it would be chayv in a mezuzah. And actually, this says it comes to your reason, Ezra. They weren't mekadesh it with a full hegdish gomer of the shul in order that the aruch should be able to sleep and eat there. And therefore, chayim mezuzah. But in the big cities with that bigger homes, it wasn't a tircha to bring people in, and therefore the shul they kept as a shul, and the houses for the Vachnosis Archim, and that's why it was part from mezuzah. There are those who ask on this question, even that would be the Svara. He says, so it's no different than a hotel, that it's also just made for people to
in and out,
to come in and out, right? And if it's not made as a permanent dira, we said, like a svina, right? It's made to hold people for smaller intervals, and for 2 weeks at a time, 2 months at a time. It's not chayv and mezuzah, because it's not a bayis keva. It's not keva for somebody. It's just there to be temporarily for many people. And it's not chayv and mezuzah.
Unless it's owned by a Jew.
Huh?
Unless it's owned by a Jew.
Even that is not so pashut, because again, the rooms in the house are not meant for permanent beis dira. It's meant just to be a revolving door, just to be temporary places. So it's not necessarily the sky of a mezuzah maker. So that's a kash in this thing. So let's finish the Gemara here like this. So that's what explains both brises. The brisa that says that a beis hakneses is chayiv is talking about the beis hakneses that's in a village. The basic analysis in a big city, that's not either according to Rashi because it's made for so many people you don't have specific bialim, or because it has the full hegdish like the other Rishonim say. So Gemara says, Udekrachim ain metame b'negoim, are big city shuls not metame b'negoim like we're trying to propose over here. V'hatanya, it says, Achuz aschem. Your places that you inherited, that is metame b'negoim. But Yerushalayim is not metame b'negoim. Why not? Because this mandam we'll see holds that Yerushalayim was not neschalka l'shvatim. Everybody got their portion of land when Yeshua and Klal Yisrael went in, conquered for 7 years, and divided up the land for 7 years. Everybody got a portion. All the Shvatim, Yerushalayim was for everybody. Kol Shevet, Kol Ashvatim Shavim. Barashi says this. Who does it hold to? Who belong to?
Yehuda
and Binyamin. And now we hear there's a machlokes. Not everybody holds like that. There's a man that says Yerushalayim lo neschalka l'shvatim. Says Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda, Ani lo shemati ela makom mikdash bulvad. Oh, I didn't hear that the whole Yerushalayim is open for everybody, just the makom mikdash. But habate kinesi is habate midrashos would be metame minigoyim. And va'avagad the krachim ninu. We make no distinction in this brisa whether they're a big city, a small city. Every place in Yerushalayim, all the shuls, and Yerushalayim was a big city, all the shuls are chayim. Only the makom mikdash. The Gemara says, Emo, you'll have to say like this, according to this teretz, you'll have to say, Om Rabbi Yehuda, Ani lo shemati ela mokim mekudosh bulvad. Not mokim mikdosh, the Beis HaMikdosh, but rather mokim mekudosh, a place that is holy. That includes Beis HaMikdosh, Beis HaKnesses, and Beis HaMedrash. Well, like we call the Beis HaKnesses, Beis HaMedrash, we call it mikdash ma'at. You see a mokim right here from the, besides you have a psukim like that, and Navi that refers to it, but he had this brisa to tell us like that.
So the Shia can get out of the shul, the entrance technically prohibited mezuzah because you have a vestige. You have a social law. But the basic right. Not having mezuzah.
Correct, correct. That's a good point, right? Because sometimes that's a base shahr to lead to other places which would be mechuyev, like the offices, because the people who populate the offices eat over there, and therefore for that reason it becomes like a someone's office or someone's store, which they store personal belongings there and they eat over there. So for that reason it'd be mechuyev. Yeah. Oh, we're able to finish to the two dots. I think we're going to have to hold over here. Okay, we'll hold it. The Gemara is now going into Mamaika Mifsagim. When you see there's a machloikis, was Yerushalayim split up for the Shvatim or not? Was it owned equally by all Shvatim, or did it split up like is common knowledge? It was split up between Shevet Yud and Shevet Binyamin, and even in the Beis Hamikdash itself, there was a split. Which side was it Binyamin's? Where was Yehuda? And which part of Yehuda encroached on Binyamin's? And why, you remind me next time, next week, Mr. Shem is Rosh Hashanah. We won't have the Shia next Thursday, but Bezer Hashem, we'll have before Yom Kippur. Hopefully, we should be able to have that, the Shia that, yeah, that should be fine. And we'll continue along. Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph.